internet world. This is Pastor Phil Beatty from Hartford City Church here on my podcast. This is a very basic podcast series. As you can tell, I'm just using the preset music from the Podbean app, and production quality and value is very low, but I thank you all for listening anyhow. I'm sitting here on a cold, gray, rainy day in Connecticut. Our spring seems to be long and gray this year. So it seemed like a good day to sit down, go through some thoughts, reflections, and create a little podcast. This is a part of our ongoing series called Conversations with Connie. And Connie is a friend of mine who keeps sending me questions, theological questions, sticky questions, questions about God, the Bible, and life that she thinks would be good to address on a podcast. So, Connie, here we go. And I'm going to take one of your questions that you've sent over to me for today's topic. So today's topic is, are we supposed to take the Bible literally, or how much of it do we take literally? And that is a really good question, and it's a very sticky question as well. So I'm going to dive into it and offer a few thoughts, observations, and reflections on how we should and can read the Bible. So, to talk about taking the Bible literally is somewhat of a loaded question among Christians, especially today, because literally can literally mean different things to different people. To say that the Bible is true is something that nearly all Christians would affirm, but it's the nature of that truth and exactly what we mean by it that's caused a lot of discussion, conversation, and even division among the sisters and brothers of Christ around the world. One of the difficulties we have in reading the Bible and understanding the truth that it presents is that the Bible is really a collection of a bunch of different books, but not just books, but different kinds of literature. I mean, the Bible is full of everything from poems to parables to songs to letters, historical accounts, oral traditions that were passed on for hundreds of years, maybe longer, before they were ever written down. So they're a transcription of something that was intended to be spoken or even performed or passed down through generation to generation. There are speeches in the Bible, there are visions, there are dreams, and within literature, there's all kinds of elements of literature that good writers and good storytellers use to make the truth come alive in exciting and fresh ways, and also in important and very specific ways. So the Bible includes everything from parables, which are stories intended to tell a moral or to teach something. Now, the elements of those stories did not actually happen necessarily, but they are crafted from examples of what people might do in a situation to create a story, to tell a point. There's also simile, metaphor, hyperbole, which is exaggeration for effect. And we need to understand how to read literature, all kinds of literature, if we're going to understand how to read the Bible. So, for example, as Connie points out, there's a passage in Mark chapter 9, verses, I believe, 42 to 48. That if we took literally would really be kind of strange. Let me read as an example. Mark chapter 9, verse 42. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go to hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched, and everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other. Now, again, if we were to take that passage literally, there would be a lot of Christians who are missing several body parts, to be quite honest with you. Jesus, of course, is a master storyteller, a master communicator. He's brilliant, the most intellectual person that ever existed. And he is, as the Son of God, quite capable and creative in the way that he communicates. So in this teaching by Jesus, he employs hyperbole. Now you English students, again, will know that hyperbole is exaggeration intended to make an effect. So Jesus is trying to say, or he is saying, that when we cause children to stumble, or new Christians to falter, that is a serious offense to God. And that if it really is something like our hand or our foot that causes us to sin, then we could cut it off and we wouldn't sin anymore. But of course we know that's not true, because even if my hand was cut off, I'm pretty sure I would still be able to sin. And that's because the sin lies in my heart. It begins in my heart. And it's my heart that needs to be changed. And that's what Jesus is trying to say throughout all of his teachings, is that really it's the heart that is what's important, and that we need to have a changed heart so we can have a changed life, so that our words and our actions can reflect more of how God wants us to be. So he's, in this teaching, he's telling us not to self-mutilate, but he's telling us to take things seriously. In fact, so seriously that we're willing to do whatever it takes to get rid of certain things in our life. Because even if we were to suffer some kind of loss by getting rid of that thing, it would be much better for us in the end. And that's the problem in our society. We have so many idols, things that we worship other than God, and we hang on to them with a tight grip. And we need to be willing to do whatever it takes to cut them off sometimes. And even if what happens might be severe in our mind or extreme, it would be worth it to be rid of that idol and that power, that dark power in our lives, in order to be able to be the kind of person that Jesus Christ wants us to be. Connie points out another example. Do wives really have to submit to their husbands? And it's a bit tongue-in-cheek, but there's also a serious side to it as well. And of course, we know that that passage has been used to justify abuse and horrible things against women, which is clearly wrong according to all of Scripture. And it's also something that the modern mind tends to wrestle with. But again, in understanding things that were written to certain people in certain times and certain places, it's important to dig into the context of what Paul was saying. Paul's the writer of that passage, and what he intended his people living in their time and place to understand by it. So another way we need to approach the Bible to understand it is understand what it meant in its original context, and then try to glean the principle from it and see how we apply that principle today in our context, which sometimes looks the same as it did 2,000 years ago, and sometimes it looks different. While I don't have time to go into the context of that passage, I have preached on it previously, so you can search back through my podcast and take a look at that passage from Ephesians if you'd like to learn a little more about that. But I'll just jump to the principles that we extract from that teaching, which is that husbands and wives, women and men, should treat each other with respect, with honor, with love, and with a heart of service towards the other. Now those concepts, I think we all agree, are positive traits that we should pursue. Love, honor, respect, and serve. And if you look closely at the full teachings of the New Testament, it's something that goes both ways. And I would think that any wife, any husband, if they truly love the other person, would want to honor and respect and serve them as much as they can, knowing that we all fall short and that we can all do better in each of those categories. And when a husband is thinking about how much he can honor, respect, and serve his wife, and a wife is thinking about how much she can honor, respect, and serve her husband, when there is mutual love, mutual service, mutual submission, that's what it means to submit, is to consider that others are better than you and to be willing to do whatever you can through the help of God to love them unconditionally and to serve them. For Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. Jesus served his disciples. Jesus submitted himself to death, even the death on a cross. And he's our example that we should follow. Speaking of the subject of death, Connie also asked, what about the passages about homosexuality? And while that is even trickier and stickier and could probably take up a whole nother podcast, I'll just touch on it briefly here to say that a lot of the punishments in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, the Mosaic Law, called for death. And there certainly are passages where homosexuality is called upon to be treated in a very harsh manner. But we should remember that Jesus fulfilled the law when he died on the cross for our sins, that we still need the law to protect us today. And I believe that the law's purpose is to protect the rights and safety of all people, the whole community. So that includes people in the LGBTQ community. Our law should be created to protect them, to give them the rights that everyone else is able to enjoy, and to treat them fairly. Whether we agree with their lifestyle, whether we agree with the theology that they hold to, we need to live in a country where everyone is treated with the same protections and given the same rights. That's how I feel about the subject. There are about six passages throughout the Bible that speak about homosexuality, and they're very much debated upon, scrutinized, and being looked at today by the church as a whole. And it'll be interesting to see where we conclude as a church on this issue. For if we're honest, since the Bible was written, we've discussed it and thought about it, and we've disagreed over what the Bible says as Christians. So when someone says, well, the Bible says this, we have to remember that it's not always that easy to know what the Bible says, because there are hundreds of things that we've thought the Bible said at one point in time, and then we realize that it really was saying something, not different, but maybe something deeper. Or maybe it was something different. Maybe the interpretation was wrong. But our way forward, and again, I'm not here to give any answers in this podcast on that particular theological discussion in any way to say that this is what we should believe. But I do believe that as much as we read the Bible, we should let the Bible read us. So circling this all back to, do we take the Bible literally? I might not put it in those terms just because the word literally has some different meanings for different people, but I would say that I take the Bible seriously, that I value the Bible and everything that it says, whether I understand it or not, whether I agree with it or not. I don't so much read the Bible as I try to let the Bible read me. And when the Bible reveals to me as I'm wrestling with it, I know that I need to discuss it with other people. I need to live it out with other people. It needs to be something that is alive in a community of sisters and brothers that I'm a part of. So I encourage you listening to this podcast, if you're not a part of a faith community, to find a faith community to be a part of. If you live in the Hartford area, I invite you to Hartford City Church. We meet every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. in the Learning Corridor, 15 Vernon Street in Hartford, right near Trinity College, right across the street from the Institute of Living, just a couple blocks down from Hartford Hospital. We're a place where we love all, serve all, and welcome all, and we certainly invite you to come and join us, because we take the Bible seriously, and we let the Bible speak to us, and then we discuss it together and try to live it out together. And I believe that's what Christ wants us to do, what God wants us to do with his word. So there's your podcast for today, and we'll be back again with more questions from Connie. And may God bless you all today, and may his love and peace be with you.